Thank you, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Werner. I think everyone here is familiar faces, more or less. Tonight, we're going to be really working through the washing of the feet. Thank you. You two are fighting over a muffin. Can we just get another one here? Because these two boys, obviously. Thank you, Lara. Just give Flippy one so that he can have something in his mouth. Otherwise, he speaks when I speak. But I actually felt this morning it would be sad for me if someone comes this morning and they don't come this evening. So I'm going to be sharing on the same message, maybe a bit less this morning because of time. But I really want you to expect God to move something in your heart. Thank you for that word that you brought, Nick. It's really spot on. I believe that this message in this little hall with a few of us this morning can change your life forever. Because there's such powerful principles in this piece of scripture. It's just scary. You know, I was getting so frustrated as I was studying this piece of scripture because I thought there's no way I can put this through. There's no way the Werner Wurst machine can put out what is coming at me when I'm studying the scripture. For me, I thought it's like a science lab procedure where Jesus throws a whole lot of stuff into a bucket and then it just explodes like a bomb. Boom, and it's flying in different directions. It's like CIA. Okay, just getting into this scripture and taking out the awesomeness of it. But now, I'm gonna take us through a lengthy piece of reading, but just sit back and I'm going to read it slow and I want us to see it play off before us, what actually happens in this room. Are you all with me? Are you on board? Okay. I will read for you because at home I read for my wife when we read Bible together. She sits back and I read. So I'm trained at it, don't worry. So Junay, I know you will be in your happy place. Let's do it. Okay. John 13, if you want to read in your own Bible. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He's speaking about the disciples there. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. You see, Anari, it's so easy what we're going to do tonight. People are stressed. He poured some water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. That's what we're going to do tonight, if anyone was wondering. Sorry for the ad break. Anyways. And wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I'm doing now, you do not understand, but afterward you will. Bit of rephrasing there. Happens when you read it 30 times. It comes. Any case, Peter replies back. He says, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he resumed his place and said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who is sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. You know, it's the first interesting thing that struck me is, you know that afterwards, Jesus still said, he that dips the bread with me will betray me. Jesus, they were not finished eating. He interrupted their little dinner or supper to wash dirty feet. Just a quick lesson right there that the basic stuff we do in human life should not take preference over the work of God. It was not finished. They had some food. He stood up. He washed feet. They went back, took his hands, and they continued the supper. Okay, Jesus didn't think too much of good manners when it came to kingdom stuff. That was for free on the side. But now, I want you to see this whole evening not as a one-dimensional event with one or two lessons. And you'll see now what I actually have done is I've taken three directions at it so that we can really take everything out of it. And I almost see it as a three-dimensional evening. And the three dimensions I'm taking is the first one is the water. Let's speak about the water. Let's speak about the washing itself. What is it? Why wash? Number two, I'm going to quickly refer to the people, the disciples, Peter and Judas. I'm going to use them. That's my second dimension, the way they react, what happens around this whole washing. And number three, I'm going to look at Jesus himself. Because there's like hidden truths in all of that. Well, it's not really hidden. But if we just rush over it, we'll miss it. Now, let's head into one. We don't have a lot of time this morning. First, I mentioned the water itself. Now, I read that whole piece of scripture so that you get the timeline more or less, because I'm going to jump maybe from the front to the back to make my points. Are you all with me? Seatbelts on. Let's go. Right. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Now we're talking about the water here, right? Now, then Peter says, Lord, do not wash my feet only, but also my hands and my head. First point, easy but powerful. God blesses us with many things in life. We do amazing work, amazing jobs. I mean, last night we were at the wedding and the people were dancing with fire, okay? Swinging stuff all around them. But you know what? You can swing fire until you're 80 years old. Alright? Then I saw on the sports channel, halftime during the rugby, okay? Not during the game, halftime. I went to one channel where they were riding bikes. But they were jumping over tables, and I haven't seen stuff like that. And then over a wall, and they were like actually jumping with a bike. I've never seen it like that. We can do amazing things. Okay, just to use two random examples. But we cannot wash our own sins away. We can stand on our heads. It's one thing we cannot get rid of in our lives. If Jesus do not wash us, we cannot have a part in him. Doesn't matter if we can play with fire until your arms fall off. Or do tricks with a motorbike. Or be very smart. Work with numbers. Build massive buildings. If Christ does not wash me, I have no part in it. Easy point, but extremely powerful. Yeah, but isn't there many ways to God? No. If Christ does not do something for me, there's no way I can go to the Father. And that is the point he's making at Peter, and Peter gets it. He swings it to the other side. He says, now Lord, wash me not. He's almost like, give me a full wash. I want a part of you. I definitely do not want to miss out. I understand now. I don't want to go too much into Peter now because we're coming back to him. So number one is, the washing is like when we get saved. It's a symbol. When Jesus washed the feet, it's like when he washed you for the first time. Excuse me. But now, Jesus is so smart, he uses exactly the same symbol, the washing of feet, and now he applies it in a different way. Check what he says to Peter after Peter says, not only my hands and my head, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. The next verse, Jesus says, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Right now, Jesus shifts a gear. He says, I'm going to just say it straight. If you are saved, if you are blood washed, you've been on your knees, it's like you have taken a bath. And for the rest of your life, you are actually clean. But now you walk through this life, okay, like they would walk outside, out of that room, over the dirt, back into another house. And as we walk in life, we gather dirt on our feet. It's like we, maybe you go through a week and you don't spend time with God, and God seems far. It's like dirt sitting on your body. You're like, man, I'm not operating the way I should. I don't feel like testifying. It's dirt. Jesus says, when you come to me and repent, I'll wash your feet again, but I don't wash your whole body. You don't get born again. You don't get baptized again. No, you bathe, but I'm going to wash your feet every time you repent. It's a privilege we have as Christians. We can repent every hour, because probably in an hour we'll sin again, if you're like me, okay? But God will wash me every time. I can repent. It's a privilege I have. But God's grace works in such a way that His gifts towards me is not taken back every time when I've got dirt on my feet, whoop, the Holy Spirit goes away. When I repent, He comes back. God's gift is almost unrepented towards me. I'm bathed. I'm clean. Not all of you. It's clear. We must be saved. But isn't it amazing how Jesus takes the same example and He says, it's like when I save you, but it's also like when I wash you daily. That is the mastermind of Christ at work. Amazing, eh? I've got the privilege to repent often, but God's gift and His calling towards me is remains with me because I'm clean, because I'm washed. That's number two. The continual washing of sins is another lesson from the first dimension, the water. Okay, now, I know it's a lot coming at you, but let's shift another gear. Let's go to the second dimension. That's the water. We spoke about that now. But now Jesus knew in this room, there's going to be a lot of role players. He knew Satan was going to be there. The disciples are going to be there. He's going to be there. And everything is like this whole almost event. It's just throwing out truths in different directions. Now, Peter says, firstly, you wash my feet. And that one could say, I think honestly, is humility. First one. And he says, you wash my feet. It doesn't seem right to Peter. He understands that Jesus is Lord. You wash my feet. That doesn't make sense to him. Christ helps him. He says, what I am doing, you do not understand now. But afterwards you will. Peter hits back. You shall never wash my feet. Okay? He's a stubborn one, eh? And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Jesus helps him again. The problem is here, when Peter says, you shall never wash your feet, unfortunately, what he is saying in that moment is, I, God, I know more than you. You shall never wash my feet. After God tells him, you don't understand now, but afterwards you will. No, I know better. I know better than you. Very dangerous. This is not humility. This is dangerous. This is making oneself smarter than God. Point number one. I want to stop there. When the gospel speaks to us through the word, when Christ speaks to us in our heart, maybe when a friend speaks to us a word of rebuke. You must not do that. And you actually witness in your heart. He's right. But you don't understand. You don't understand. Why must I not do this? Why does Jesus wants me to be baptized? Why? Our understanding should not determine our choices. Now, I say that with care because I'm not saying you must be like a crazy man running 1,000 directions. What I am saying is if you get a clear instruction from God, but your understanding does not understand, go with God's instruction. It's the only way we grow, because when we are young Christians, we don't know why we must go to Foundation 1. But after Foundation 1, you know. You don't know why you must go to Foundation 3. But afterwards, you're like, man, why didn't I go there? After I went to Foundation 3 the first time, I couldn't picture myself getting married into a healthy relationship without going through that. I didn't want to go. I was obedient because I knew this thing was created to help me. Now, that's just an example on the side. But when God speaks, let us move, because His thoughts are higher than ours. Amen? Easy. Thanks, Peter, for that. What I'm doing now, you don't understand, but afterwards you will. But Peter hits back. He says, Lord, after Christ made it clear to him, he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. How ready was Peter to repent? Right there. Right there, his repentance was evident. He says, Lord, if this is about me being connected with you, I cannot miss out. I must have it. Wash me even more. Okay? Forgive me for speaking such a hasty word, Jesus. Not my feet, but my hands and my head. Number two, lesson from Peter. Spirit-filled Christians. Let's move on to the next slide. Should be ready to repent quickly. You know what? I'm going to put my head on the block. We are bad at this. I know it because we get offended in this church. Too easy. And I realize in small groups, we are scared to approach one another. We are scared to ask someone, have you been baptized? Oh, you can't ask me that. No. We mustn't lose the ability to repent to one another and the ability to boldly approach and ask, why are you still doing that? I want to help you. I care for you. We must never lose that. If the Holy Spirit works in us, which He will, we can be bold enough to approach one another and talk about the things that matter. Because when the Holy Spirit works, our friends and we should repent quickly. Just as Peter told us right there. And we will be fine. We'll be joined to God. We'll have a part of Him. Quickly, I'm jumping forward to Judas. Look at the comparison. This is now just at the end, after the washing and everything. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it quickly. I somehow made my own principle there. The Judas principle. What do you think about that? Now, the devil deceives humans. And Tien and I actually spoke about it the last few weeks a lot. When Jesus is in the room, at work, serving people, washing them, the God of the universe, in that situation, Satan still comes and he takes a man out. He's out. He chops his faith off right there. He had the opportunity to repent just like Peter modeled to him 2 seconds ago. Peter went from being an arrogant brat telling God what to do. The next second he repented. God washed him right there. Done. Judas sit there, the witness, klipkop, seeing all this, and he cannot repent. Satan takes him out in the midst. It is a warning for all of us. Let us be awake. Let us be vigilant. He is a roaring lion. You see what I mean when I say this piece of scripture is like a bomb exploding into different directions. The theological lessons is just tremendous. Now, how do we stay clear of this? One slide back, please. Obey God and trust Him even when you are not fully enlightened. Be wise and be ready to repent every second if you have to. Humble yourself to your friends in small group. Give them an opportunity to speak into your life. Tell them, if I don't come to church, you phone me. What's wrong with you? Are you backsliding? Straight. And then be ready to repent. Amen? Lessons from Peter and Judas. And Jesus, He's the author. He knew what was going to happen and He's putting it out for us. He says, watch. Are you with me? Shake someone next to you and say, be quick to repent. And when you repent, bring me coffee to show your true repentance. Now, the third dimension is where we're going to finish off. Like a three-dimensional message packed over each other. Christ Himself. Now we're back at the beginning. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Very important. There is nothing above Christ at that moment. Nothing. Not people, not buildings, not money, not angels. Everything is right there. He is in charge. God gave it to Him. He looks into the future. He sees where He's going. He sees, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sit on my Father's right hand. He can see into the future. Himself defeating Satan. Gathering His sheep. He sees everything right there. He knows where He's going. Knowing all that, one can expect this and say, God is good. One could expect Jesus to stand up, maybe begin to shine. His disciples see God's glory and they worship God. Good thing. And then maybe Jesus comes past all of them and say, blessed are you, Peter, with this gift. You will do that. And then he goes and, oh, and he's worship. And that would be, I would say, amazing. That would be good. But in that moment, Christ, knowing He is the most powerful thing there is, He takes off His clothes, because it's uncomfortable, the stuff they wore to actually bend down. He takes off, He puts on the towel, and He starts to serve. Isn't that a lesson for us? When we might be at the top of our careers, at the top of our lives, and we are living awesome lives in Cape Town. If Jesus was here right now with everything, and He was maybe in our church, in our midst, with everything available to Him, He would still serve. What about me? What about you? Knowing everything that is right there, close to us, to grab and to enjoy, are we taking the position of a servant? Or are we taking our power and running with that? I think for most of us it's maybe a mixed, because we would not be here if there was not a servant mentality in this church. A church cannot grow without servants. I mean, when you started out, I mean, Gideon and Elizabeth and the gang, it's almost like you had two jobs. You had church and your job. I mean, it was speakers every week moving the whole church to UCT back. So I have to witness, we've got that culture. But I want to have a warning out for us. As we grow bigger, and we are growing as a church, I pray that there will not be one passenger on the bus. Or we will stop growing. We will slow down. We must all be partaking and serving just as Christ served. And He will bless us and we will grow. So, the first thing that we are learning from Christ. Back. You are way ahead. An accurate perception of eternity produce washing service in this age. If a believer, listen to this, a well-grounded assurance of salvation, like Jesus had. If you know you are saved, you know it. You know you spend eternity with God. If you've got the faintest idea of eternity, you will serve now. That is what shows to me if someone understands eternity. If you don't have a clue about eternity, you have to take this life and make yourself as big as you can because this is what you've got. But Christ looking ahead, He knew this is like this. Amen? So I know that a healthy outlook on eternity produces a servant. That's it. As plain as simple as that. Almost my last point. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew it was His last hour. That's the word there. His last hour. There was His last opportunity to make a move among the disciples. It was just that final step before ending the race. And in His last hour, He served. The last thing He did. Now, if I have to apply that to us, we have to be honest and say we don't have a cooking clue when it's our last hour. I'm actually glad I don't know. Because as my day would come closer, I would maybe stress more and more. Especially if it's right around the corner, okay? But how do I apply that to my life? If Christ deemed it so important that serving was even the last thing He did, at least what I can do is to generate a life of serving so that my hour will not catch me of God. Because I don't know when it is. That is the application that I want to throw at all of us. Are we living like it's our last hour? Because if it is, we would be serving. Now, it maybe sounds like a fuzzy term. Let me spell it out for you. I like doing it because then I don't have to wonder if everyone understands. Okay? God gives us the church. He works through the church globally. Get involved. Boom. That's serving. Number one, if you go and go to the next slide, if you come into church, don't be like Peter and say, no, Lord. Get washed. Come to Bible school. Get washed. Come to foundations. Experience the privilege of God serving you through facilitators, praying for you, trusting for you to be delivered from stronghold. It's like being washed. Be washed and enjoy it. It's a privilege. Then, when you've been washed, start to help with the washing. With your life. Get the basin, get a towel, and get your hands dirty. And I have to say once again, these people in this church, amazing examples. And I want to encourage everyone, if you're new, be washed and enjoy it. If you're old, wash. You will be blessed. You will not be caught off guard. And when the enemy comes into this room, because he will try his luck in church time, because he was in that room where Jesus was, and he wants to take people out, he will not take you out. You'll be ready to repent. You bow your knee to Christ, and you are busy with washing feet, not making schemes about selling Christ for money. How's that for practical application for serving? I'll throw it right out there because I think maybe Tiens will feel too bad to say it so straight to you. But I will because I'm the junior. Any case, let's go to the last slide. I'm finishing off. Are you allowing Christ to wash your feet or are you modest? My mom is like that. Let me put her on the spot. She's not here. Mom, can we pray for you? No, don't pray for me. No, don't waste your prayers. God is too busy. Man, for goodness sake, God wants to wash feet. Don't be like my mom. Get your feet and your body in the basin. Be washed so that you can wash. And are you growing as a servant in God's kingdom? We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I like to be served, okay? Confession. But let us grow in becoming like Christ. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank You that we can be as a family around Your Word, the Bible, and thank You that it speaks to us a living Word. Thank you that it is something that draws us closer to one another into a place where we serve one another. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that the word this morning ministered to every heart, and I know, Lord, because you are faithful, your word will bear fruit as you please. Won't you just, where you stand, just lift your heart to God. Just say, Lord, here's my heart. Do a perfect word. Do a perfect work in my heart. Just say that words in your, maybe your own words. Lord, here's my heart. Do surgery on me. Change me. Because I'm only human. And Lord, I want to thank you for your grace which establishes your love amongst us even when we have dirty feet. Even when we have sinned, your calling and your grace remains among us, Lord. You are so much more loving than us. And we bless you, Lord, for remaining faithful. And as we're standing here, Lord, just one more thing. Just where we stand, let's just repent of our daily activities. Let's just get our feet washed in one second. Maybe there's something you want to say, Lord, please forgive me for that. Please just wash my feet. I want to see you clearly. I want to feel your peace. Be bold. He wash. He's ready. We praise your name. Amen. I want to say a special thank you to the doctors that joined us this morning. They work through the night and the day, and we know Grey's Anatomy is only 1 hour in the week. Then those actors go home. You guys are the real deal. And to have you here, it's a blessing. Can we just give them a clap for coming? Veronica and Liesl. Amen.